Hello and welcome to Megashura, a podcast for communicators. I'm Chari Raizada, hoping everyone is in good health. Trying times indeed, and the need of the hour is to stay optimistic and fearless. Today on Megashura, we tune into the larger discussions around a strong environmental, social and governance ESG proposition. The narrative to create value for companies and their shareholders has never been more integral than now for any business. Economist Milton Friedman wrote half a century ago, and I quote, "It may well be in the long run interest of a corporation to devote resources to providing amenities to its community or to improving its governance. That may make it easier to attract desirable employees, it may reduce the wage bill or have other worthwhile effects." Well, shareholders and stakeholders do not compete in a zero-sum game. Building a strong connection with broad elements of society creates value and builds resilience into the business model. Today on Megashura, we speak to Trigya Singh to understand how getting the ESG proposition right links to higher value creation for businesses and as communicators, what we could do. Trigya is an environmental, social and governance specialist, ESG specialist, and is currently working with On Purpose PR.
Hi, Trigya. Hello and welcome to Megashura.
Hi, Charu. Good to be here.
Trigya is passionate about the Sustainable Development Goals and has been working towards identifying and implementing solutions contributing to the achievement of the SDG 2030 agenda. Let me begin by asking you, Trigya, what got you interested in this space?
Thank you for the question, Charu. This is something that has, been happening with me in terms of me being introduced to the entire spectrum of ESG as a young child who's lived in Jharkhand and Bihar. I have seen very closely how certain brands like, you know, Tata Power, Tata Steel and Aditya Birla Group, they sort of work in a very community driven way where they, wherever they're working, whether they have their plants, whether they're mining, they create this environment where everything is taken care of in terms of zero harm, zero waste, zero discharge. And that is something I've seen as, you know, child, as an adult also. And this got me interested. I did not know then that I was something called as ESG or metrics or paradigm. When I started working as a communications person, as a person who's also doing digital, I noticed, and you know, that's part of our work, that we get a lot of these queries when we are monitoring on social, when we are socially listening, when we are doing analytics, that the entire conversation has pivoted towards climate action and, you know, climate change for the past few years. And thanks to the brands that I've been working with, like Google India, IKEA, and Renew Power, Smart Power India, everybody has been talking about, you know, achieving net zero and why is it so important, and not just from a cosmetic standpoint, but also through initiatives and actions. So I would say that in a way, the universe conspired me to get here. And ever since I've been here in this spectrum, I have been reading up, researching, using the techniques in my communications on a daily basis. And that's why I'm interested in it.
That's really interesting. And I think I remember reading somewhere that, you know, you were really inspired by one of the Hindustan Times leadership summit as well, right? Hearing some leaders talking about this. You know, ESG is often misunderstood to be CSR or even sustainability, or, you know, just restricted to this. How can we explain ESG in like really simplistic terms?
Well, they actually made it very simple by calling it ESG. So E stands for environmental, S stands for social, and G stands for governance. To make it even simpler, environmental is basically all the information that encompasses how a company is exposed to and manages risks and opportunities related to climate change, natural resources scarcity, pollution, waste and other environmental factors. So sustainability, climate change becomes a national part of it. When you talk about social, it's a component that includes information about the company's values and business relationships. For example, social topics that, you know, sort of fall under labor and supply chain standards, employee health, community health, safety, product quality, data privacy and data security, and of course, diversity and inclusion come under social. When I say governance, now we don't typically relate private sector or basically brands to governance, right? We think that it's the responsibility of the government that we're working out, so we sort of living under, right? But actually, it's an ecosystem wherein there is it's imperative for the governments to form partnerships with private players or public sector players. And under that, you have subjects like executive compensation, board of directors, policies on lobbying, political contributions, bribery and corruption. All these three factors are measured on sort of in a period of time, let's say quarterly, in like a yearly basis, and there's a scoring that's given to companies. Typically, it's always been thought that, you know, ESG is something that's related to investment, and, you know, companies that are compliant are good bet in terms of investing, in terms of stocks. But what is happening now, and it's been happening for the past almost 6-7 years at least globally, is there's a shift. Communications plays a very important role. People within the company, the leadership, and the communities where they work in are now all being cognizant of the fact that the entity, the private player or the public player, is ESG compliant. So ESG is not just CSR, it's not just sustainability, it's not just governance, it's not just good practices, it's everything. And the reason why it's important is because it obviously reduces risk in terms of investment, yes, but also in terms of having an entity that is looking after the community. Whether that entity is good enough or not, that is something which has become a democratic conversation now. People are having that conversation now, which is really important, which means people are understanding it, but there is still a long way to go.
That actually demystifies the whole concept really well, ESG, and it actually puts things more in perspective. And hopefully this will, do away with some of the myths surrounding the conversations around ESG. In fact, you know, very interestingly, you picked up about the government. I feel, and studies are also showing that governments around the world, and I'm not sure about India, and I think India is still lagging behind, governments around the world have woken up to the concept, and they're doing their bits and pieces. And they have indicated, especially now, you know, that they want to build back better by boosting the economy while also addressing social issues. So that includes climate change. So, you know, so yes, you're right. People still have a long way to go to understand the whole conversation, the whole narrative around ESG. So, this brings me to the point that what effective ESG strategies do communicators need to adapt to, or you would advise them as someone who's been working in this space, who understands this space, and probably the first person working in an agency who really has learned the ropes. What would you advise communicators who are interested in this subject and want to really learn further? And obviously come up with, some interesting things for their clients.
There isn't one way to look at this, but I'll start with the basic. Every communicator these days, or some, I would say years, has been, you know, you have a messaging framework. You begin there. That's literally the DNA of all your communication outreach initiatives and planning. You include ESG in at that stage. So when I say it's a messaging architecture, think of it like a pyramid, right? Now in a pyramid, you have all these different levels, right? You begin with the simplest and easy level, which is, you know, more easy to understand for everybody. That is environment and climate conservation. You talk about initiatives that your brand or your prospect is going to talk about or should be talking about. You mold all your PR and your social initiatives, online, offline, both, and your campaigns accordingly, and you build them around environment and climate conservation topics, under which, of course, you talk about how the market is aligning, you look at how KOLs, key opinion leaders, are talking about. You are cognizant of the fact that you're not just an individual in that system, but you're also forming a chain in terms of communication. So let's say from a simplistic point of view, if there's a tweet thread that's going on, if there is a topical thread that's going on ESG, or let's say net zero, laddering back to environment and climate conservation, you latch on that, you talk about what are you doing in terms of that. What it does, it creates a ripple effect.
Right.
And it actually helps you further the conversation. The second layer or a part of the pyramid that you can have is called fair value and development. Now, because you're a player in the ecosystem, you're not just an individual who's just talking about or can just talk about what you're doing. You also have to be cognizant about what your employees, your community where you're working, the host, the state government or the central government is talking, and how are you aligning with those ideals? Now, to give an example, a couple of months back, Niti Aayog came out with the India 75 charter. Everybody's almost read that, but very few people have come out and understood that it is built around ESG principles. And all the three things that I spoke about earlier are a part of it. So when private partners or entities start aligning to that in their campaigns, again, would make more sense and would, it wouldn't bombard people and wouldn't confuse them. So if you do it in a stage-wise thing, it'll be very easy. The third thing you can add to your communication pillar or pyramid is talking about transparency and human rights. The conversation should be around how you are building trust, creating dialogues. How are you skilling not just your own workforce, but the workforce around the community where you're working? How are you forging partnerships? And how is that good for you and the environment and the community? And laddering back to the grassroots level where you're working, right? And the fourth and the most important and the most topical thing being health and well-being, which is typically the bottom of the pyramid, but now given the circumstances, most brands are now inverting the pyramid and talking about that first. Health and well-being in COVID times is extremely important, not just for your own health and well-being, not just your own employees' health and well-being, but again, something like safety of workers, their family, their surrounding. And if that sort of, becomes the foundation of your conversation, that also helps people understand that, hey, you're here to do good. The best example right now would be, just take an example that is like a CRED doing, gamification of their CRED points and donating oxygen, right? That's a great example of that. Look at what Tata's are doing. Look at what Mahindra is doing. Mahindra has activated its fleet of vehicles and is also producing oxygen. And you have the top leadership, the C-suite, constantly being involved in the health and well-being conversation. It's all happening for a reason. Right. So the best and the basic thing is to do when you're mapping your conversation, when you're mapping your yearly plans, have ESG principles right in the front. Start with that. Pivot from, let's say, high volume to high focus. Use digital in a timely manner to shift the alignment of your narrative. And of course, ensure that the focus is also on internal communication. That's really important. So it's like a multi-pronged strategy.
No, I really like the way you've actually made me visualize the entire architecture. You've talked a lot about employees. As the employee becomes central to all communication, how can a strong ESG proposition prove to be an enabler for internal comms specifically?
So I'll actually give you an example for this. Last year, this is something I was doing really day in, day out as part of my work. So before COVID hit, it was all regular, topical and marketing promotions on digital and PR. And then eventually when COVID hit and people were like, okay, we're going on a lockdown mode, we're not talking about things, we are, keeping quiet. From that, within a few weeks, all my brands got activated. One of the brands that you would not think that would be doing ESG communications this aggressively was A, Vedanta, and B, Castrol India. And Castrol India is an interesting example because typically lubricant brands or brands that are in that automotive space do not talk about ESG or do not talk about sustainability. But they started the conversation by involving the employees in it. We sort of created this entire framework where employees could come in, give their video bites of the good work, either it's about the CSR, whether it's about the daily work that they're doing at home to make the environment better, or the relief work that they were doing. And this, you know, made the entire thing very interesting because the social media platforms of the brand became a platform for the employees to speak. Now, when you take employees and empower them and tell them that you're as big a part of this ESG or sustainability conversation as we are as a brand, it creates a different effect. Because it's more shareable, it's sort of more people. More people get educated, more people are participating because there's a known face talking about how they did it in their real life. So that was great. For Vedanta, we started this interesting series about Vedanta heroes, again laddering to CSR, talking about the relief work they're doing in the communities. They're also doing, people are doing, giving donations, people are distributing food to not just, well, people and humans, but also animals. Taking care of the community is not just restricted to the human population. So those stories lent credibility. It also showed that the ESG factor, the environment, social governance factor is in the DNA of these organizations. And it's not just something that you do for a vanity metric measurement, which is engagement and reach.
No, I completely agree. And I think you've really explained this well. And now that you've painted this fantastic picture of what the ESG's communication matrix and the whole architecture needs to look like, both internal and external, let me come to evaluation, measurement. Even the best of programs without measurement, has literally no meaning. So what would you recommend?
The way I look at communications is really simple, Charu. Communicators, our jobs on a daily basis is just two things. A, more than impressing, express in a way that people understand. And your communication should not be limited only to a certain set of people, which is KOLs, right? Key opinion leaders. It should be for everyone. It's social. If it's social, it is supposed to be social. And measuring social is easy because every footprint that you leave on social media is measurable in terms of reach, impressions, engagement, congruence in terms of sentiment. Now, what we did, and I've been working on this for the past almost 3 years, is create a framework which is easy to calculate, marry that framework with typical social or digital listening tactics. There are a lot of tools for that. And the measurement framework is really simple in this term. You have these three pillars, right? Environmental, social, and governance. Under environmental, you have, let's say, resource use, emissions, innovation. You give scoring in terms of what is the coverage. Now, for example, for ESG compliance, all brands have to talk about the impact. They do that through their annual reports. They do that through their different publications and journals, white papers, whatnot. But the ground reality is they have to talk about numbers. When you look at the numbers and you look at the impact those numbers are having in terms of reach and relevance and resonance and social, you can create a scoring. Let's say I give environmental 20, I give social 20, I give governance 20, basic scoring. And I also put a benchmark against the best practices. Let's say for me, if a Tesla is the best example, and they have a 22 or 20 plus scoring in general terms speaking, I would benchmark the brand that I'm working with against that. And then obviously include social listening mechanisms to sort of see what they're talking about on social. How is their sentiment going? Is it towards negative? Is it more towards positive? Is it more towards neutral? And then pivot using the three principles. Now, in my experimentations in the past few months, what I've seen is the moment you start talking about environmental, social, and governance, your scoring automatically goes up if you are validating with numbers. and impact stories or beneficiary stories, like we want to call it. If you're not and you're just talking about fluff stuff, which is basically topical days, or you're just sort of laddering to or leeching on upon something that's just topical, like let's say COP26, a brand wants to just be a part of the conversation without really talking about how they are actually doing it on ground, it reduces the scoring. So we also take cognizance of the vanity metrics and the vanity content that comes out from peer and social, and give negative scoring accordingly. And that balances the entire scoring out. Now, so it all boils down to three things: it's relevance, resonance, and reach. The way, you know, in a very simplistic way, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I'm sure it's not as simple, but you really make it sound simple. And I would love to see next year in the PR Industry Awards introducing a category on ESG. It will be fantastic. So, you know, on that note, thank you so much for talking to us, demystifying the whole concept and explaining it in far more detail. And, you know, hopefully we will see a lot more communicators dabbling into this space of ESG. Thank you, Krigya.
Thank you, Charu. Thank you for the opportunity.
You could catch our episodes on any platform of choice. Send us your feedback on megashira@digitales.co.in. Well, we are the artists of our own lives. Don't hand the paintbrush to anyone else, and certainly not to a virus. Mask up. Until next week, stay safe and keep learning with Megashira, a podcast for communication folks. Adios.